Welcome to Shining Bright, the Farm Her radio show all about women doing great things. Women who are making the ordinary extraordinary. Women following their passion, taking action, and making a difference for themselves and others. Join me, Margie, as your host on Shining Bright by Farm Her. Welcome to Shining Bright today. You don't have the farm herd, but you have the farm her. Margie here today with you. And I've got an episode coming up that is near and dear to my heart, and I think that will be interesting for all of you as well out there listening. So obviously, Farm Her is an organization that focuses on women and strong women and holding each other up and doing whatever we can to help grow the future of women who are engaged and so important to the agriculture industry. And I was traveling home from something somewhere not too long ago. I can't remember where. And I know I was sitting in an airport in St. Louis, and it was like 10:30 at night on I don't even know what night. And I was exhausted. I'm sitting there doing the social media scroll, you know, where you're just kind of mindlessly looking through. And one of my Farm Her friends, Carrie of Dairy Carrie, had shared something that caught my eye. And it was an article about a Girl Scouts organization who was creating a new policy in their workplace for women. And now that I think about it, of course, their workplace is made up of mostly women. It's Girl Scouts. It's not so different than what you would see behind the doors of Farm Her. And not that men aren't welcome to work for us. Obviously, my husband is part of our team. But we don't have a lot of men who apply for our positions, if any, that have applied for our positions. So, you know, we are an organization not too dissimilar, and this jumped out and caught my eye. And it is a policy for new mothers or fathers or caretakers who return to the workplace. They can bring a new baby with them to work for up to 6 months of that baby's life. And this jumped out at me for a number of reasons. Probably no different than why Farm Her jumped out at me, you know, of how it fits into my life and how it fits into my story and how it fit to my emotions. Because so I'm going to take you back a little bit. When my kids were 1 and 3, I had gotten to a point with my career where I needed a major change. And I always say it that way, you know, I needed a major change. But if I dig a little deeper and tell you what was actually going on, I worked for an organization in the ag industry that there was very few, if any, other women that were running at positions like I was, you know, management, upper management type of positions. And there just wasn't a lot of other people around to be able to, like, deal with these things or to even know how I could deal with them as a younger woman in the workplace. And so when I had my daughter, you know, I was back to work in 7 weeks and traveling right away. And it was a really big goal of mine at that point to make sure that everybody that I worked with knew that my commitment level had not changed and that I still cared very deeply about my job and moving forward and climbing the ladder and, you know, just being there and being present. And unfortunately, at that time for me, the way that I looked at it, because I didn't really have another way to look at it, was that it had to be all or none. So, you know, don't bring any parts of you being a mom to work because there's really no room for that. And it was tough. I won't lie. It was really tough. It was like, there was not a lot of balance there. And then when we introduced baby number two, it just became clear to me that my kids were going to keep growing up, and it seemed like even a faster rate than they ever had before, regardless if I'm there or not. And, you know, I just needed a little bit more of that balance in my life because we only get one chance at this. And I also have to say that I was ready for a change in my career. That job was not challenging me anymore. It wasn't what I wanted to do going forward. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I left and bing, bang, boom, here we are, Farm Her, right? So when I saw this article, it jumped out at me because as a woman who has been in the workforce and dealt with a situation where you have babies and you have to figure out what you're going to do and who's going to watch them and how you're going to deal with it and how you're going to pay for it, it matters. And we always talk about this, like women leaving the workforce, you know, And I've often thought, like, what is it that we can actually do to change that? Because, and it's important to me when I think about Farm Her, I have some amazing women who work for me. I want them, if they choose to have babies and increase their families, of course I want them to come back to work. They're amazing before, they're going to be amazing after, there's no difference. And so, you know, this matters. And so we're going to talk about this policy and where they came up with it, how they came up with it, you know, how it's going. We are going to have a room full of women in here who can get behind the mission of it. So I'm really excited to dig into this and share more with you. And on that note, we are announcing I Am Farm Her, which is our all ages event for women anywhere. Come join us in Des Moines, Iowa, June 17th through the 19th. You can check it out at farmher.com. Stick with us. We've got a really cool episode coming up on Shining Bright. Welcome to Shining Bright. We have a very different and a very cool episode lined up for today. So I am here in our studio and I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and a little tiny baby in here, which is probably a first for our show. So we're going to be talking all about Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa and a really cool new policy that I think you guys have in place. So Beth, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having us on today.
Yes, yes. So what is your position at Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa?
My position is Chief Executive Officer. And so really my job is to help support and lift up all of our teams, our staff members, and our volunteers.
Awesome. So let's take this back a ways. I'd love to hear. So Shining Bright is all about everyday women who are doing amazing things wherever they're at, whatever they are doing. So, and I always love to hear people's journeys and how did you get to be the CEO of this great organization?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you again for having us on. We're so excited. So I didn't set out to say, guess what? Someday I want to be the CEO of Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa. My life path really was, for the most part, working in the nonprofit sector for about 15 years in a variety of different roles. And then really it was just sort of where the stars aligned. And there was this wonderful opportunity, the opening, and a friend sent it to me and said, hey, I really think you should look at this job at Girl Scouts. It really lines up with your background. And if I'm being full disclosure here, I was not a Girl Scout. So I didn't know everything about the organization and everything that girls do. And so I started researching it. And I have to say, even before I got the job, I was like, oh my goodness, how did I not know about this? And I always say, I was born to be a Girl Scout. I just didn't know it until I was 38 years old, you know? So one thing led to another, long story short. I got the position and just celebrated my third year anniversary in this role. I am what I would now call a true green blood. Absolutely love it. My daughters are involved. I now lead their troop and it has become a huge part of my life. I couldn't imagine my life without it now.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. People always ask me with Farm Her, like, are you a farmer? Did you grow up on a farm? And I grew up in the country. I am not a farmer though. So kind of like you know, mm-hmm. I you weren't a Girl Scout, but I actually was a Girl Scout.
Awesome.
I was going to try to dig this picture. I'll have to find it somewhere. It was like me in my little brownie costume.
Yeah.
But I have some familiarity with the organization, but overall, can you tell me like what the goals of the organization are?
Yeah, at its core, Girl Scouts is about building girls, 100% girl-focused programming to build girls of courage, confidence, and character. And we've been around for more than 100 years with that same mission, but the way the program actually occurs with girls evolves over time. So the Girl Scout programming that you grew up with, there are some historic and traditional elements still there, things with community service and core outdoor skills, but a lot of things evolve. So now there's also this great array of cybersecurity badges and building robots and, coding and engineering and all of those things that likely were not part of the program, you know, when you were involved. So it evolves to meet the needs of girls and society.
Yeah, which is important. I mean, mm-hmm. We always need that. We talk about that a lot, about organizations that exist just for women, whether it be women of like my age or young women, like your daughter sitting here, you know, I think it's important. I mean, we all just need that kind of like those people around us who are our cheerleaders and those things to give us those stair steps to get to that next spot. So
yeah, absolutely. Just giving girls that platform to be true leaders. Every single role in a troop, you know, on a girls' robotics team is given to a girl. And so every leadership role, every role where someone's speaking. And so it's just an incredible opportunity for girls to shine.
Yeah, I love it. So we spend a lot of our time and effort focused on rural communities, obviously through Farm Her. Can you talk a little bit, you guys, what parts of Iowa you're in and how Girl Scouts plays a role in rural communities?
Absolutely. So the way Girl Scouts is structured is that we are issued a charter from the national organization, Girl Scouts of the USA. So Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa encompasses the western two-thirds of the state. So we cover 70 counties. Girl Scouts, of course, exist in eastern Iowa as well. They just fall under a different jurisdiction. That would be Girl Scouts of Eastern Iowa, Western Illinois. So in our jurisdiction, our 70 counties, we have more than 1,000 troops. They range from kindergarten all the way up through 12th grade. Of course, we're 100% volunteer-led. And we're in every single community, everywhere in every county. And we've got almost 14,000 members, current members, spanning that jurisdiction.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
a lot.
It is.
I feel overwhelmed. Just like I was trying to type those numbers so I don't forget them, but oh my gosh, that's amazing spread. So we've talked about Girl Scouts. Let's see. We've got, a special guest sitting here too. You want to introduce her?
Absolutely. We have a fourth grade Girl Scout with us. She is a junior Girl Scout, it's called, and her name is Millie. And so she, is here with us today as well. Hi, Millie.
Hi. So Millie, how long have you been in Girl Scouts?
2 years.
Mm-hmm. And like, what does it mean to you? What do you love about it?
I love about it is because I'm challenged a lot and I get to explore and adventure new things and I learn a lot.
Oh yeah. What if you could pick out one of those challenges that you've had recently, maybe where you were in a situation, I mean, probably today, right? You show up here and I'm like, hey, you want to get in front of the microphone, but tell me about maybe one of those challenges that you've had that Girl Scouts has kind of put you in front of.
Rock climbing. Yeah, I've gone rock climbing recently and at first I was nervous and I didn't know like what to expect. And then I did it and I was having a lot of fun. I'm like, well, I'm glad I got to do this.
That's awesome. So if you guys hear a happy little voice in the background, that is part of that. We're going to embrace it here. Okay. That's part of our show today, right? Is that there are these happy little voices everywhere. We have just a couple minutes left, so I don't want to dive into too deep of a topic quite yet, but, let's finish it out in this segment with this, Beth. What is it that makes you believe so deeply in Girl Scouts?
Well, if you think about what we just heard Millie talk about, I was with her the day she got to go rock climbing, and the troop walked in, and we had 9 girls and 2 adults, and nobody could make it to the top of the wall when we started. And it was really high, and it was intimidating, and they had these harnesses on. So everyone was kind of uncomfortable and a little bit anxious. So they tried and then they sort of fell, you know, they kind of rappelled down on this rope. Nobody got hurt. And then they try again. And then they were encouraged. And then an instructor helped. And then they tried again. So over the 2-hour duration, by the end, every single girl there, including Millie, made it to the top of this rock wall.
Yes.
So when you think about facing fears, failure recovery, trying out new things, and then realizing with full confidence in the end, I can do this. Yeah. Imagine how that translates to the rest of their lives, to things like negotiating a fair salary, seeking a job that you're not sure that you're going to get, taking the trip of a lifetime when you don't know the outcomes. All of those things that make a fulfilling and rewarding life, we're giving them the skills to do that in a safe space. And that's really what it's all about. And I couldn't be more excited to be a part of it and to see, you know, girls' lives change right in front of me.
Yes. I just want to say yes to all of it. That sounds so exciting. I mean, it aligns so closely with what we believe and what we do with Farm Her. And And I would say the ability to be surrounded by young girls who are learning alongside of you is completely awesome. We are getting ready to head to break here. I just want to remind all of you that we have some awesome events coming up for Farm Her all around the country. Our Grow events for young women engaged in agriculture. You can head over to our website, farmher.com, click on the events tab and see where we're going to be. We're going to be all over the place. Like I said, we're in Washington, D.C. in March. We're in Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri in April, and more the rest of the year. So stick with us here on Shining Bright. We have more cool things to talk about here about Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa. Welcome back to Shining Bright. We have, like I said, a really unique episode here, and we've been talking with Beth Shelton about Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa. I don't know why I have Central Iowa in my head. Did it used to be Central Iowa, no. Or did I just make that up?
Yeah, you just made it up, but
I just made it up, whatever. Anyway, and while I know that this show goes everywhere, all around the country, I think that these are issues that can affect anybody anywhere. And I think it's very relevant. Obviously, Girl Scouts is everywhere, too.
That's right.
So with that, let's talk about your organizational makeup. Mm-hmm. How many employees do you have and how many women work for Girl Scouts?
Yeah, great question. We actually have 50 full-time employees and we have about another 70 part-time or seasonal employees largely because of our camp programs in the summer. Of our 50 full-time employees, 47 of them are female and we currently have 3 male employees.
Yeah. I would have guessed that. I mean, people always, it's kind of a joke here. We have 7. We don't have as many employees as you have. But Tony, I mean, by default, he has to work here. He can't leave because, you know, it's our company.
That's right. Yeah.
But I don't think we've ever had a male apply for a job that we've had open at Farm Her. And I would imagine Girl Scouts gets that same rap, right? Like it's about women. So you're going to get a steady stream of women who really believe in this.
That's exactly right. We get very few male applicants and oftentimes get the question, are men able to work there? Or do you take, yes, of course we
apply.
Do. Yeah, exactly. But I also feel really unapologetic about when a Girl Scout, a fourth or fifth grader comes into our office and sees, 6 female executives, rock on, that's exciting that, they can't want to be it if they don't see it. And so I'm really excited that we can show them a C-suite that's female.
And they're not going to see that anywhere likely.
So
I mean, by the numbers.
You don't have to be female, but we're going to rock it.
Yeah. I love it. Like I said, we operate under kind of the same situation. So with that said, let's talk about this new policy that I saw on social media about your, I don't know, is it a maternity leave policy or is it, I'm not sure what you would term the new policy. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I would say it plugs in really nicely with our entire suite of benefits that support parents. And so, yes, we have paid parental leave. It's for all men and all women that work for us that welcome new babies into their lives. So we do have paid parental leave policies. We also have a few other unique benefits like a PTO donation policy where employees can donate to one another in the case of need or something. And we also offer things like paid bereavement leave for miscarriage. So that's something that we created because when you really think about the issues that women face in the workplace, that's a really prominent, regular issue that women face. And so that we have things like that. But so the latest addition to that suite of benefits is what we call infants at work, our infants at work policy. Okay. So the way it works in a nutshell is that all full-time employees are eligible. So that is mothers, fathers, or guardians. So to welcome their infants to work with them every single day, full-time, all day long, if they choose, up to age 6 months or until the infant is crawling, whichever comes first.
Yeah, because that brings a whole host of challenges once they're mobile.
That's right, exactly.
So how did this policy come about? I mean, did you have people kind of knocking on your door saying, I can't handle all of this? Or what was it? Was it, just a little bit of background would be wonderful.
Yeah, this is, I can't preach enough how important it is to have women that have a seat at the table of decision making, because we bring a unique perspective. I myself have three children. I have faced that juggle that feels impossible of nursing and going to, you know, executive meetings, of traveling for work and trying to be present in kids' lives. So that's the perspective I bring to the table. But we happen to have a little bit of baby boom in our office this year. Of our 50 staff, 7 of them were expecting children at the same time. Wow. And one of them came to me and said, you know, I've been thinking a lot about it. I'd really like to see if there's a way I could to support my, you know, that I plan to nurse, and could I bring my baby to work with me? And she was still maybe 7 months pregnant at the time. And honestly, my gut reaction was kind of like, there's no way that could work. Because, you know, we have a regular office space. We, even though it's really fun to work at Girl Scouts, it resembles any other office. We have cubicles, we have a retail space, we have banks of phones, we have all the things that businesses need to serve customers. We're doing all those things. And so my mind immediately went to the operations. How are we going to answer the phones? What does it mean for ringing a customer out at a cash register? But really, my job is just to support a mission and then think about operations next. So I had to really flip that equation around. So we've built a culture of trust in our organization. And so what I said to her is, I didn't say, you know, no, that's crazy. I said, let me reflect on that a little bit and think about it. And I truly did. And honestly, hands down, within 24 hours, I had done a complete 180. I had done some research, and all of the compelling reasons why I have this job, why I am a green blood, why I'm so passionate, line up with the mission of Girl Scouts, which is to make tomorrow better for girls and women. And so if we're not making decisions based on that, we have it backwards. So when we think about our mission, what can I do to support new parents in the workplace? And then I started looking at the wage gap, and particularly the maternal wage gap, which is a difference of up to 55% in pay and all of these things. And of course, I mean, you can tell I'm excited about it. I started to get so excited that when I came into the office the next day, it happened to be our weekly leadership team meeting with the executive team. And I said, we have got to talk about this. And so we sat down and started putting our heads together. What could this look like? And we used some great resources that we found across the country, whether it's other workplaces or the Parenting at Work Institute had some free resources. And long story short, we developed a policy that really hashes out some of those questions about what if a baby's crying? Who can hold the baby? What kind of quiet places do we offer in the workspace? What if a physical workspace they have doesn't work for them? All of those questions are answered. It's a 10-page document. We sit down and do a consultation with the employee. And we really just found that we wanted to find a supportive way to support new parents in our workplace. And what might it mean, particularly for women, as they juggle this seemingly impossible balance of work and life?
Yeah. I want to like cry and like jump up and down, and I want to hug you. And I think it is so refreshing. And I was telling you this earlier, you know, when I look back on my life, one of the biggest, most tough and most life-changing decisions I had to make was to leave my 7-week-old baby with a babysitter who I trusted. I didn't really know, but it turned out okay looking back. But I had to go to New York that week, and then I came home for a week, and then I went to London for a week. And by the time my daughter was 10 weeks old, I was like if it wasn't a hot mess before, I was like the biggest hot mess. And the reason that I felt like I had to do all of this was because the workplace that I was at had like no policies to support women. Like it was like, come back and act like nothing happened. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's how I put that on myself. Right. So I feel like one of the coolest things that you have done through this is you've opened up the avenue to say, it's not just this policy, but like, let's talk about how you can keep working here and balance your life. Cause I think that's the door that seems shut most of the time, right?
Well, exactly. And we have staff that are doing amazing things for us. They bring amazing life perspectives and experience and expertise to their roles. That doesn't go away just because they welcomed a child into their life. And so how do we marry those two? How do we make sure that we maintain all of this expertise and perspective, and also welcome this staff member to bring, you know, to support them.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're headed to break here again. I talked too much. We're going to come back to break, and we're going to bring in somebody who has experienced this new policy. And I can't wait to talk more about it from her perspective as a new mom with a little baby at work. I think it's such a cool thing. So thank you for joining us all. Don't forget to tune in to Farm Her on RFD TV Fridays and Sundays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. 30 minutes of us traveling around the country, visiting amazing women and seeing what they do at their farms and ranches. We'll be right back. Okay, so we are back, and we, again, for those of you who may not have been around in the beginning of the show, we have a room full here, and I know we have the youngest guest we've ever had on Shining Bright here. Chelsea, you are not the youngest guest, but your daughter is. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So if you could introduce your daughter, since she can't introduce herself to, how old is she too?
Yes, Finley Marie. She is 4.5 months old.
Okay, so exciting. I love it. We miss having babies around here sometimes, and then we don't. Been there, done that. But anyway, it's wonderful to have you. So, Chelsea, you are the first person to be a part of this new policy at Girl Scouts, right?
Correct.
Okay, so can you tell me what your job is, first of all, there?
Yes, I am the Chief Development Officer. I help to oversee our recruitment team looking for girls and volunteers to participate in our Girl Scout programs, as well as our philanthropy team working with donors and corporations to monetarily support our programs.
Awesome. And how long have you been with Girl Scouts?
I started with Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa last June, so not quite a year yet.
Okay. So were you a part of, like, when this policy was being made? Were you a part of the discussions, or did you kind of find out about afterwards and you're like, yay for me, I get to, like, enjoy this? Tell me a little bit about kind of your journey with this.
Absolutely. When I applied for this role, I saw that Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa had a lot of benefits for working parents, which I already felt really fortunate to be a part of. The policy was implemented when I was on maternity leave. My coworker brought the idea to Beth while I was out, and Beth called me and let me know that the leadership team was having discussions around the Infants at Work policy. That phone call, I was kind of in awe. I didn't know what to think when she first told me about it. I was trying to picture, how would that work with my role? How would it work being a full-time mom and all of my full-time responsibilities at my job? But the more I thought about it, the more excited I was. And I felt really fortunate to work for an organization that was so innovative and progressive.
Yeah. I mean, and it's probably like the best piece of news ever, right? When you're, because I've been in your shoes, you're on maternity leave and you probably had some sort of a plan for childcare.
We did. It was a huge relief, not only financially, but emotionally, physically. I didn't have to dread that day when she was so young, taking her to daycare for the first time. And that day will come, but I will be able to reflect back on these 6 months and know that I had this special time with her.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, looking back, at least for me, like, your hormones are a mess. Like, I shouldn't say the word mess, right? Mess is not the right word. There's
it
a lot
be a mess.
There's a lot. Yeah. A mess, maybe, actually, for me, it was the right word. But I mean, so many parts and pieces of your life have just changed. Is this your first child?
It is.
Yeah. So your whole world changed, right? And so if you can take this one piece and give it a little more continuity for yourself.
We felt really supported as a family. And as a woman, I felt so empowered to have that choice at my workplace and to know that I was supported as a mom and someone who cared a lot about their career.
Yeah. And that's, for me, outside looking in, when I look at it, you know, you're supported. And so, like, if you have to take a sick day or a PTO day, you know, because, you know, Miss Finley over here gets sick 6 months down the road, like, you aren't sitting there going, oh my gosh, am I going to get let go because I took too many of these? Like, you know, or are people going to look at me different? You know, you have a supportive workplace, which is like, you can't buy that.
I agree. I feel very valued as an employee, knowing that they want us to be a family first organization. They want a good work-life balance for families. And knowing that I had this special time with her at work, it makes it all the better.
Yeah. So let's talk about the reality of it, right? And Beth, I'd love to ask you a little bit more about how it actually works too. Mm-hmm. You said you guys nailed down a 10-page document, which I can only imagine. But from your perspective, Chelsea, like, how has it worked? Because that I do find myself wondering that, like, reality wise, like, can you just tell me how it works?
Yeah, reflecting back on starting, I definitely was nervous because I thought I want to set a good impression that this policy can work for future moms. Philly and I were fortunate to be the pilots, but we didn't know how it was going to go. I have been relieved that it has been easier than I imagined. The staff is very supportive of having an infant in the workplace, so I never feel that we're a burden or that I'm not supported in having her there, which is a huge relief. Some days are easier than others, and most of that depends on Finley's temperament, but we're blessed with a very content and happy baby, so that does help. She joins us in meetings just like she's another coworker. She always has a contribution. She has something to say, which is always super cute. But the morale in the office in general, I think we already have a very engaged and fun atmosphere, but I think this just boosts morale that much more because who doesn't love to see a little baby and have her bring a smile to your face?
I know that I'm smiling more now than I have all day just looking at her across the room like a lunatic smiling. If she could say something, she'd be like, "Mom, why is that crazy lady smiling at me like that?" But no, I agree. Like it's a unique thing. And at that age, I mean, also looking back, I thought that it was really hard, but it actually is one of those stages where you can do something like mm-hmm. this, right? Mm-hmm. And so we've got a few minutes left here, Beth. So I'd love to talk to you about like the logistics of like, you said you had to set out a whole bunch of ways that this could work. Or can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So a few of the caveats in the sort of 10-page document are, first of all, a thorough planning session with the parent to talk about where's the baby going to be, because some of our staff have private offices with doors and some have open cubicles. So just talking through what equipment do they plan on bringing in and what kind of space needs do they have. We did convert an office space in our building. That's what we are designating as the quiet room. So it's really the parent baby room. So it's a great private place for nursing, which was our original intent when we converted that room. Because like a lot of workplaces that are not huge, we didn't have a great designated place for nursing moms. And so we converted this office space into the quiet room. Well, not having the foresight to know that we were going to have this infants at work policy eventually. So now parents can also take their baby in there. So really the general guideline is if your baby's fussing for 5 minutes or longer, that's a good time to say I should probably go to the quiet room. So then go in there and try to settle the baby down. And if it's a consistent, you know, half hour of constant crying, that's probably a good time to say maybe today's not going to work here on site. And so, you know, go ahead and go home. There might be cases where flexible work arrangements can be made and that employee can just work from home that day. And it might be the case that they use PTO depending on the temperament of their child that day, or maybe the baby's ill or something. So, you know, we kind of have this vision of, oh, there's screaming babies everywhere. And that's just simply not the case. We also have another really great caveat where other staff had the opportunity to raise their hands and say, I'd like to be an alternate care provider. And they fill out some paperwork and some waivers, and they have a meeting with the parent. So the parent can choose up to 4 alternate care providers. And those alternate care providers, those are the people the parent can turn to in those times when they say, I need someone to hold my baby. They turn to one of those 4 people who have signed paperwork, who have opted in. So you're never going to someone, you know, that you might have that perception of, well, what if I don't like babies? What if I don't want to hold the baby? Yeah, great. No, the expectation is that you wouldn't be one of those people. You wouldn't raise your hand and say you'd like to do that. So we just have really tried to think through every sort of scenario to be supportive to our entire staff and also to our parents and babies.
I love it. I do have a few more questions. So I think if everyone's good sticking around, let's do one more segment of this, because obviously I can talk about this all day long. And as you said, you could too. I absolutely love it. So you guys, we're going to be having another I Am Farm Her event, and it is going to be right here in Central Iowa. Last year, we welcomed women from over 20 states, and we hope to do the same again this year, June 17th through the 19th. Head over to our website, farmher.com, to check out more. Baby! Welcome back to Shining Bright. We have been talking about a really forward-thinking organization that obviously we can really like appreciate and get behind, because our missions are actually not too far different, right? We are supporting women, and we are in the business of making sure that they have resources and that they can do cool things in this world at the end of the day.
That's exactly right.
And so when I was researching this a little bit, I just keep coming back to this is so important. Since 2000, the number of women working in their prime earning years has declined. So it was always going up, 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 up. And then it started to decline. And I think that you're having like all of these things that just get tougher to deal with, women being more in leadership roles, like the types of things that we want women to go do, but it just gets a little bit more difficult, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the wall I hit where I was like, I got to where I want to be and now I can't handle this. And so I'm just going to walk away.
That's
and
right.
And how do we stem that flow? So I think it's such a cool policy.
Thank you. And it's so important to have when we think about the laws that are made, the research that we do for our medicines, all of those perspectives, we have to have a wide variety of demographics at the table. And it has to include women because there's really very real outcomes that affect all of us.
Very much so. So when I saw this, it got shared through a social media mm-hmm. and not through Girl Scouts of Iowa. And mm-hmm. it got shared through a Farm Her that I know. And in Wisconsin. And I was like, what is this? And then I started reading and I was like, wait, this is like in my backyard. Mm-hmm. Like literally your guys' office is less than a mile from ours.
Right.
Yeah. And so I got really, really excited about it at that point. And so talk to me a little bit about it going viral.
Yeah.
What sort of attention that's brought to Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa. Mm-hmm. And also, have there been any difficult conversations, people who maybe have thrown stones at this?
Yeah, great questions. So we had no idea this was going to be the attention grabbing headline that it became. And so when we rolled out the policy, we knew that word might trickle out amongst our volunteers because, you know, all of a sudden you walk into our building and there's a baby in the retail shop. There's a baby on the other end of the line. So we sent out a press release to our three local news stations and I did a Facebook post just on my personal Facebook account. It was public. And from there, it really just gained steam organically. People wanted to talk about it. They wanted to share it. The post had more than 10,000 likes and reshares and thousands of comments. Internally, for us and the people that are connected to Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa, it has been nothing short of amazing and positive. And I attribute a lot of that to the fact that we brought our whole team, our staff, all 50 staff, along this journey with us. They had a voice in helping shape the policy. So as soon as the idea came up and we got a draft of the policy, we reached out to we had an open forum with our staff and said, here's what we're thinking. What do you think? What are your ideas? How could we make it better? What concerns do you have? And we listened to that and we edited the policy and shaped it. After we finalized it, we rolled it out one more time to our staff and to our board and sent out an anonymous survey. So they had the opportunity to give anonymous feedback and still everyone felt positive and great. And what we're seeing in a practical sense is a recent opening we had. Our applicant pool was up by 60% more than average.
I can see that.
So we know people are excited. Our staff loves it. Our applicant pool is way up. In terms of negatives, people throwing stones, I would say due to the viral nature of the post, you know, it's the internet. And what that means is there was a really wide net of people that saw the post and it attracted thousands of comments. And among those, we know that about 95% were really positive. The ones that weren't, the critics might say, well, what if I don't want to be around babies? And that's not my thing. And how, you know, sort of how dare you make people be around babies if they work there? So that was, you know, one stone that got thrown. And then paid parental leave. What we heard from people across the world, particularly that lens outside of the United States, is, you know, you should provide more paid parental leave. The vast majority of our staff do take 12 weeks of paid leave. We offer 8 weeks of paid parental leave for mothers and fathers. The vast majority supplement with 4 additional weeks of their PTO or donated PTO. But we felt like that's a really great practical amount for our organization and for our sustainability. You know, the seat that I sit in, I have to juggle our financial and operational sustainability. We're a nonprofit. We have 50 employees. We're 100% locally funded. So we do have to have people in seats in order to serve our customers and keep our doors open. But that idea of a longer paid parental leave, that's a really big topic that our country's still tackling and talking about. So if there was a critic, it would be, you know, what are you doing in addition to this? So,
And that's a tough one to broach because like I myself, I mean, we're an organization of mostly women and a lot of young women who are involved with us or pretty much all young women who work for us, some who have kids, some who don't. And as a tiny organization, it's really hard to deal with when you have somebody who's on maternity leave, but obviously you're going to do it. I understand. I want you to come back. Like right. I want you here. Right. You were here doing an amazing job before. You're still going to do an amazing job, of course. Right. But
a lot of women love their careers. Being in the CEO of Girl Scouts of Greater Iowa, I have had a baby in this role. So I have been in this role for 3 years. 2 years ago, I welcomed a child. I love my job. I couldn't wait to come back to work. So they're not mutually exclusive. There are women that are career driven, ambitious, love to contribute to society, to their role. And so this is a great opportunity for them as well. So we don't want to always make the assumption. What I love is that it gives women some choices about what works well for them. The assumption isn't always that women want to stay home longer on parental leave. For some women, yes, absolutely. For some women, they can't wait to come back. And that's how I felt. And I know a lot of people, you know, welcome that as well. So,
yeah. Well, again, I know I keep saying it, but like knowing you have that flexibility and that ability to make choices that affect you and your family, in addition to being able to balance that who you are professionally, is pretty key. So as we're getting close to running out of time here, you said it is 100% locally funded organization.
That's right. And a part of that revenue is the cookie program. So the cookie program is a lot of times what people think of with Girl Scouts. It spans all across the country. Now, different parts of the country have different cookie seasons. Here in central Iowa, we happen to be in prime cookie season. But the way you can find out if, you know, where do I get cookies? How do I find a cookie booth? It's just simple. www.girlscouts.org/cookies. You put in your zip code, it will tell you where to find your local cookies. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I have to say that I do think Girl Scouts and I immediately think Thin Mints.
Mm-hmm, right.
It's
right.
Just, they go together. Well, that's awesome. I love this, ladies. Thank you so much for joining. This has been an amazing episode. And I think, you know, in agriculture, it tends to be kind of a unique industry where, things happen maybe a little bit slower than they do in other industries and women being a part of agriculture. So if you aren't aware, 30% of farmers in the United States are women, which is a big shocking point to me when I realized that. And that's why I started Farm Her. But there's those women working in ag related professions. And that is probably even higher than the number of women who are actually farming in the industry as a whole. And, you know, I hope for any of you out there listening, you know, it's a new and innovative way of thinking, I think, but a really important one to retaining in the life that we live and the work-life balance that we all hope to achieve. So
absolutely. Our rally cry is just asking employers, look at what you're doing to provide for your parents and support them. It might not be this version of this policy, but really take a hard look at how you're supporting new parents. And we want to thank you for having us on and for just all the important work that you do for women. You are truly an inspiration and I couldn't be more honored to be sitting here with you.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you. Well, for all of you listening, I know I've talked about it before, but I'm going to remind you again, farmher.com, check out our events tab. We have Grow events going on around the country. And one thing that I haven't talked about today is we have made the commitment for these to be free for young women ages 16 to 26 at all of our Grow events all year long in 2019. There's no reason for any of you not to take that step and engage and grow yourself in this industry. So farmher.com events tab, you can see what tickets are available, what events we have coming up. And if you're outside of that age range, we have I Am Farm Her, and we'd love to welcome you there June 17th through the 19th in central Iowa. Thank you again for joining us on Shining Bright. Are wrapping things up here on Shining Bright. What a cool episode. I love to be surrounded by awesome women who really believe in the mission of putting great things out there in the world and helping young women be all that they can be. As I said earlier in the episode, I was in Brownies and in Girl Scouts for a few years. We moved a lot when I was little. So after we moved out of that town that I lived in North Central Iowa, I didn't rejoin. I didn't find a group to rejoin. I got into 4-H then. And I guess I would give that plug, whether it's Girl Scouts, whether it's 4-H, whether it's FFA, Campfire Kids, whatever the organization is, it is so important for young people to connect. I sat here and was super impressed. Millie, who was the young woman who talked today, she showed up here and we welcomed her into the studio. I didn't know that she was going to be here, and she is maybe 9 or 10 years old. And I asked her if she wanted to be on our radio show, and she didn't really blink. She put her hand up and she said, sure. And she spoke with confidence and grace and was not challenged by it. And I think that those things come from being engaged into organizations like this, where it pushes you, it challenges you, it helps you grow as a human being and get prepared for all of the cool things that the future has to hold for you, no different than 4-H or FFA does. So shameless plug for all of those organizations for kids out there. And what a pleasure it was. So this episode, we have themed around women who are paving the way. And I want to introduce you to the TV show that is going to air this week on RFD TV, Farm Her. It airs Fridays and Sundays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. And this week we've got a couple really cool women. These were fun episodes to shoot. So there's a woman, Mary Kay Thatcher, on the episode, who she is such a cool lady. And if I take it all the way back to when I was like a 21-year-old working in the insurance industry related to agriculture, there was almost no women out there anywhere in that industry that were visible. And Mary Kay was the only one that I can remember. And I remember always thinking that this lady was like untouchable. She was like amazing. She could get up in front of a crowd and talk. She could hold any conversation about crop insurance, which is like the most convoluted program on the face of the earth. And she was so smart and so with it and so together. And I remember her. I'm sure she doesn't remember me, because I was never that person back then who would like go up and introduce myself. But you know, I've pushed myself to kind of reverse that a little bit. But so when the opportunity came up to have Mary Kay on our show, I was like, yes, 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 this woman is amazing. And so she works in policy in Washington, D.C. She has for many years. She spent most of her career working for the American Farm Bureau. And today she works for Syngenta, and she advocates on behalf of farmers all over the world, but here in the United States specifically. And so we get to dig in a little bit about what she does, why she does it, and how it has worked being a woman in that industry when there haven't been a lot of others. She has paved the way. She really has paved the way for so many. And on top of that, she also has a farm here still down in southern Iowa. She has some cattle and she has some row crops. So we got to go down and visit her there and kind of get a little behind the scenes look at what it looks like to be a landowner who manages a farm from afar, because it's a really different situation, but it's an increasingly common situation from many of the ones you see. So it's a cool episode from that perspective as well. You'll see a different thing going on in agriculture. And then we're going to go down to Arkansas and we visit Brenda Watts, who is a woman who owns a flying service, KMP Flying Service. And she is so cool. She actually, her son started this business and then she joined him in it. And when he left the business, she kept it and she runs it. She does everything but fly the plane, as she says. But we got to visit her on a day where she's got a pilot and she's got a mechanic and herself, and she sets up everything. She keeps all the things going in this business. And then she works with those people who work with her to make it work. And they take care of farmers in a few counties right around them there in Arkansas. And it's a really cool episode. And for some reason, I was crazy enough to let our production crew talk me into standing on the runway while the airplane was taking off. And I swear it was like 6 inches from the top of my head. At least it felt like that, but it wasn't actually. So tune in. That's on one of the promos for the show. You can't miss it. I'll have to put it up on our social media too. So these women have paved the way. Brenda is also one of the first, or she is the first woman who's been the head of the industry organization for women who are in that flying industry in agriculture. So amazing women. They have done amazing things, and we love sharing the stories of them, because if you can see it, then you can go do it. So with that, thank you so much for joining us here on Shining Bright. I want to encourage you to head to our website, farmher.com. Sign up for our mailing list to stay in the know about all the events, the merchandise, the TV show, and everything else we've got going on. You've been listening to Shining Bright by Farmer. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern and Saturday at noon Eastern on SiriusXM's Rural Radio Channel 147 and the SiriusXM app. And now, go shine bright.